Let's look at verse number 25. The Bible says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight to the throne of grace. Lord, I pray You'll help us to be mindful, Lord, of Your Word and of Your will. Help us, dear Lord God, in the time of crisis and the time of calamities and time, Lord, of uncertainties. Help us, God, to be strong and be steadfast and not collapse. Lord, help us to know, God, that sinners are watching us, neighbors are watching us, work associates are watching us, family members are watching us, church members are watching us, our young people are watching us. God, help us to set forth a good example, Lord, not just in actions, in appearance, but also attitude. I pray You help us, Father. Lord, I pray that, Lord, Father, what we believe and dear Father, the convictions, God, that You worked in my heart, I believe is found in this Bible. Lord, we pray that, God, some of our people will grab a hold of them, and, Lord, some of our young people will realize that Lord, they're here on purpose, and I am their pastor on purpose, and, Lord, You're desiring, Father, to influence them, Lord, through us, and help us to realize what an awesome responsibility that is on my part and also on their part as well. Father, help me now as I try to preach, God, what You've laid on my heart, and say what You want me to say. I pray You'll give us utterance. I pray that You'll help us to be sensitive, the Holy Spirit, and I'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look in Acts 16. I've been dealing with the subject, beat up, but not beat down. We'll probably conclude the service tonight with this thought, unless the Lord leads us. I mean, it's bigger than what I could deal with tonight. As I mentioned this morning, you can go into the book of Philippians and you can see Paul's heart. Outwardly, you can know that he's beat up because there's verses, there's passages that reveals it. In fact, even in Acts 16, he talks about being beaten. But if you want to see inside Paul, not only do we note it in verse 25 and some other things in these verses that I'll point out, but you can read the book of Philippians and really see the attitude of Paul toward his dark times. Paul used that dark time as an opportunity to pin down one of the most blessed letters in the New Testament, the whole book of Philippians. And look, we're still blessed by it. What are we doing in our dark times that the next generation can draw strength from? What are we doing that our children, as parents, what are we doing that our children can draw strength from? Will they be able to say, you know what, I've seen Dad go through this or Mom go through that in a dark time hit, financially or spiritually or domestically or whatever, or physically, and I watched them stay faithful. I watched them stay in love with the Lord, and I watched them stay true, and that pass on to our children. Parents, whether we realize it or not, we are training our children. One of the most difficult things, listen to me, I'll get in Acts 16 as the Lord leads. I'm praying, Lord, show me what to do, step by step, moment by moment. But I will say this, friend, one of the hardest things I've ever found in my ministry to do of 27 and a half years of preaching is to try to get children spiritual that don't have spiritual parents. One of the hardest things I've ever tried to see accomplish. We're training them. Good or bad, we're training them. Amen. God help us. All right, beat up but not beat down. We've looked at several things, and I'm not even going to attempt to go back and try to review and point things out, but I just simply want to ask you what we close the services with this morning. Are you beating your beatings? Or is the beatings beating you? If you get beat down in your life and you get all discouraged and you quit reading your Bible, praying, quit going to church, you're unfaithful to the house of God, guess what you're doing? You're saying that the beating is beating me. It's whipping me. Are you whipping the beating, or is the beating whipping you? Amen. God help us. I believe our life is going to consist of how to deal with darkness, how to deal with difficulty, how to deal with discontentment, and so forth. I believe that. But I want to point out some things tonight that I believe that helped Paul and revealed that Paul was not beat down. Silas was not beat down, though they were beat up. And what brought that about? What reveals that to us? The first thing that I would like to share with you, and I believe that it's easily understood in this passage, is number one, if you want to write down the word cancellation. Cancellation. Paul would have never survived spiritually this beating had not it been for this point right here of cancellation. And I'll show you what I'm talking about. Now listen, Paul could have survived this beating physically. A lot of people are surviving a beating physically, but are not surviving spiritually. Paul had the stripes on his back. They would have healed in time. They would have scabbed over in time. They would have been nothing more than a scar and a memory in time. He could have survived the beating physically. What about spiritually? What about spiritually? Surviving spiritually, number one, is going to require cancellation. What do you mean cancellation? I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about not letting your attitude get wrong toward the beater. The one that's putting the stripes on your back. The one that is being used to beat you up. Don't tell me now it's not easy to do. Don't tell me that it's not hard, and it's, preacher, I've got it, I've got that handle, I've got that. Well, you let somebody start beating up on your family verbally. Amen. Let somebody start talking about your wife or your children verbally or your husband verbally. And amen. And see if you don't start turning red and your temperature start going up and your blood pressure rising. Amen. I'll tell you, brother, if you're not careful, when those that would beat you, I mean, if there's a beating, there's got to be a beater. Somebody's got to be the instrument that's swinging the whip or swinging the rods, whatever the instrument was. There has to be a someone in doing it, inflicting that on you. I want to tell you, God uses people, but listen, the devil also uses people. Paul was being beaten. Silas was being beat up. And I'll tell you, friend, they were being beaten, undeserving. They were not supposed to be beaten. They were Romans. They were not supposed to be beaten. They had not done anything wrong. They had not committed any crime. They were doing the will of God. But yet they were involved in being inflicted with beatings in their life. Now Paul could have gotten mad at the beater. Paul could have got all sold up even at the beater and bit, you know. But you know what I believe is very clear? Paul was a man that never held a grudge against the beater. That's how he survived the beating. He canceled. He didn't let anything come in his way. He forgave the one that was beating him. Now come on now. Sometimes that'll be your wife. Sometimes it'll be your husband. I'm talking about this, that is being used instrumentally to inflict some beating on you. Now come on, don't look so sanctified, amen. That's right. I promise you, if some of you would be honest, if all of us would be honest, some of us husbands would have to say, preacher, my wife has beat me down before, or beat me up before. Not physically with a blow or a punch, but just treatment. And I promise you, in this building, if some of the wives would be honest, you'd have to say, preacher, my husband can get me fired up quicker than anybody. Say amen right there. I'm in the house. Are you listening? And sometimes the very one, my friend, that you never thought would is the instrument that's inflicting the stripes and beating you up. And sometimes it comes from your children.
There's parents, my friend, that's wounded and bruised and spiritually and emotionally and mentally because of rebellious children. But one thing, whether it be a wife, husband, children, parents, whatever it is, it don't matter who it is. You cannot harbor unforgiveness in your heart and a grudge in your heart and survive the beating. It involves a cancellation. It involves forgiveness of that one that is beating you. Amen. Amen. He took... Listen. Let me tell you why he another reason why he didn't get all bent out of shape. He expected it. He knew these things were coming his way. It didn't surprise him. That's why we get all bent out of shape a lot of times. We think, well, where did that come from? When the Bible plainly says in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Amen. Let me turn back in the book of Acts to chapter number 9, real quick. Turn to chapter number 9. Look, if you will, when Saul got saved, of course his name was changed to Paul. I want you to notice with me here what the Bible said through, what God said through Ananias to Paul after he got saved. Here's what he said to him in verse number 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. And kings and the children of Israel. Watch this now. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul knew when he got saved, God showed him, you will suffer. Not just suffer, but suffer great things. So when Paul went into town, he didn't look for applause, he looked for affliction. When Paul went into town, he didn't look for a motel, he wondered where the jail was, because he knew that's where he'd wind up. Why did Paul not get bent out of shape in Acts 16 when he was being beaten? It's just because he could look over at Silas and say, hey, Silas, hey, don't get bent out of shape. Don't hold a grudge. It's our portion. Acts chapter 9, I will show him what, how great things he must suffer. That word things jumped off the page at me today. Things. Paul could have said to Silas, Silas, don't worry about it. This is just things. All that's going on in our life is just things. Don't make a big deal out of it, Silas. It's just a part of being a believer. See? Brother Buster quoted, Brother Buster Mullins quoted this in the message Friday night. If I can spot it here. In Philippians, let's see here, right. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Jesus was here and He suffered. Do you think that we're going to follow Him without suffering? No, Peter says that Jesus left us an example that we should follow His steps. And those steps were steps of suffering. Amen. You don't see too many Christians today suffering. I'll tell you why. They're too much like the enemy. Jesus said in John, I believe it's chapter 15, the world will love its own. The world's not going to persecute you if you're like them. Amen. And anybody that names the name of Christ and gets upset over preaching or over Bible principles about us being different or not different. If you're not different, you're the same still. Amen. When God saved me, buddy, He not only gave me a different life from the world, but He gave me different longings from the world. I've got a different Lord from the world. Amen. I'm governed by a different law from the world. I want to tell you, I'm controlled by a different love than the world is. And also, I am endeavoring to be different in my looks and in my language.
Amen.
But you preach on being different. Preach on biblical separation and people will get all bent out of shape over you. When's the last time you ever heard, even in our church, when's the last time you heard in any church, somebody giving up something for Jesus? Have we all arrived? When I got saved, I'm going to tell you there for a long time, buddy, it was a constant and a frequent thing. Buddy, God was putting His finger on things in my life and I was having to deal with it. Amen. Things. Just things. Whatever's going on in your life, it's just things. It's just things. Silas, God done showed me how great things. This is just part of them things, Paul, Silas. They don't need us to get all bent out of shape. This is just some of them things that God said is coming our way.
Amen.
Just things. Amen. Just things. You know, Romans 8 and 28, we quote it to everybody and her brother, but listen, it works when you look in the mirror too.
Amen.
Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. It was really scriptural for Silas and Paul to say to each other, hey, this is just some of them things that's working for our good and God's glory.
Amen.
Just some of them things. So next time a storm hits, next time darkness comes, you'll just say, hey, this is just some of them things. Hey, this is just some of them things that God is wanting to use. It's just some of them things that God's going to use to mold me and conform me and bring me more into the likeness of the Son of God. Amen.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
Just things. Just things. What have you been out of shape at? Just things. Listen to Paul's attitude in that Roman jail. Listen to it. Ready? Philippians 1:12. But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. He said, these things are instrumental. These things have a divine origin. God is trying to do something with these things. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, boy, God's trying to give somebody a word. All of us probably. God is trying to do something with the things that comes into your life.
Amen.
Oh, God's not up there wringing His hands and wondering what the next move is. He's not, my friend, putting His hand down in a basket and hoping to pull out the winning ticket. Oh, He knows what's going on in your life. He's already got it plotted out. He's got it planned out. And God uses things in your life. Amen. Well, I don't know how I got on that, but listen. Paul didn't get bent out of shape, buddy, because he had forgiveness in his heart. Now, I know that's elementary. Now, I know that's simple. But you'd be surprised how many people in our Baptist churches, my friend, are out of tune with God because of grudge or unforgiveness or ill will in their heart. My friend, an evil speech has come out their mouth toward a fellow church member. And you can't sweep it under the rug and it'd be all right. You sweep enough under the rug, you'll have a hump in the rug and you won't be able to open the door.
That's right.
You may hide it the first sweep or the second sweep, but after you keep sweeping it under the rug and not dealing with it, friend, before long it's going to be evident. Be a big hump in the rug, and you won't be able to open a door of blessing. Amen. Look at the emphasis Jesus started with in forgiveness. Look at it. He dealt with it over and over again. Paul dealt with it over and over again, writing to believers. Now, why would he want to write to believers and tell us to forbear one with another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you? Now, why would he want to write that to believers? Why would he want to write such words as that found in the book of Colossians and also in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 32, why would he want to write to us for us to be tender-hearted in forgiving one another? Even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. Why would he do that? Because he knows we're saved, our flesh is not saved, and it's still easy to get sideways with people.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, let me give you a little something to say. Brother Billy, you'll laugh at this. You better watch what you say, because whoever you're saying it to might have their phone on speakerphone. Can I tell that, Brother Billy? I was standing out there at Walmart. I was at Walmart, and I was an individual. I'm not mentioning a name. Don't go to church. And here I am talking to him at Walmart. Good friend for Brother Billy. And I'm talking to him, and he's talking about, you know, going fishing with Brother Billy. And he said, I'm going to have to get me a new guide. You know, I'm going to have to get me a new guide. Somebody can take me and put me on some fish, you know. Boy, he was just ragging up Brother Billy one side and down the other. I mean, just giving him, you know, jokingly, but just giving him a tough time. I said, I'm going to call him right now. We're going to get him right now. So I call him up, and I don't remember what I said. Something about, is this this Credit Guide Service, Outdoors Life, or something or another? I said, I've got one of your customers here standing with me, and he is very dissatisfied with his services. You took him, and he's never caught nothing or something along those lines. Boy, and I just ragging him up one side down the other. He said, oh, you must be talking about, and it was his name. Now, I had a speakerphone. And right there in Walmart. And he said, yeah, preacher, that's the one on the end of the conversation. He said, preacher, that's the one I was telling you about. And oh, I was a matching every button on it. I thought about even dropping it in the floor. I thought, please, Brother Craddock, shut up! He's listening! I told Brother Craddock, man, he said, you ought to drop the phone in the floor, amen. He said, that's the one I was telling you about, preacher. He don't like preaching. And I'm turning red. I'm talking about, oh, Lord, help us. Somebody call for me over the intercom or something. You better watch it, friend, what you say. Somebody else might be listening. Amen. As one called, one time somebody, I ain't going to mention too much details on it because I don't want nobody to know who I'm talking about. Or whatever, but they called somebody and they were talking, and the person they were talking to had my wife on the other line. And my wife heard every word that was said. My wife got chewed up, spit out, and my wife heard every word. And that person this day don't know my wife heard all that. You better watch it. You better watch it. You get caught. You get caught, whether it be a speakerphone or two different phones or whatever the case might be. You better watch it. Cancellation. Boy, have I had to do that? Have I had to do that? Cancel. Forgive. Forgive. Do you want to do it? You know why a lot of people don't want to forgive? Is they feel like they're letting them off the hook. Well, if I forgive them, preacher, then they're getting off easy. But if I hold a grudge, they're going to know that I'm still mad, and that, I guess that's going to cause them to suffer a little bit. But I promise you, they probably never lost a wink of sleep. You're the one that's losing sleep. You're the one that's getting ulcers. You're the one that's taking nerve pills. It's bothering you. Forgiveness will do more for you than it will for them. Amen. Forgiveness will free you. Forgiveness will bring liberty and freedom into your soul and into your life. How did Paul survive this beating without getting beat up or beat down? Was a forgiveness. If Paul had been wrong with the beaters, if Paul had been wrong with the magistrates, if Paul had been wrong with all that was involved in bringing about this binding and this beating in Paul and Silas's life, if he'd have got wrong with them, he would not have been able to pray. He would have not been able to sing praises. He would have been crossed up and out of the will of God. He would have had no discernment of the Spirit. When the jailer pulled his sword to kill himself, Saul would have been too selfish, self-centered, His whole thought process would have been, poor old me, look what's happening to me. He would have missed a golden opportunity to stop a suicide and to lead that man to the Lord. The underlining roots behind unforgiveness is selfishness. Cancellation, we're having a time. You know, you can go to the first mentioned principle of forgive. You know where it's at? Genesis 50. Joseph's brothers that lied on him and joined forces and attacked him and threw him in a pit. And all of that came from his brothers. David said, if it had been an enemy, I could have stood it. But he said, it was those of my familiars. He said, it was those that I went to church with. Hey, we can handle it if old John Doe that I don't even know is running us down and ragging us. But I'll tell you, when it comes home and it's a neighbor or a friend or a church fellow church member or a family member that's ragging us and running us down and criticizing and all of that, I'm going to tell you, that dagger is sharp and that dagger goes deep. Are you listening to us? Can I say something here? This church will never go beyond its relationships. If we don't have a good family, if we don't have a good church family relationship here, our church will be, the growth will be stunted, the spirit will be limited, the success will be few. I'll tell you, we will not see God do what He wants to do, and if we're going to see Him do what He needs to do and wants to do, we're going to have to be quick to cancel the debt, the wrong. Amen. We've all had to do it. You've had to do it. I've had to do it. Some may even right now need to do it. There's children right now really need to forgive their parents. Parents that have wronged their children. Are you listening? I don't have anybody in particular mind. I'm just preaching. All right? I'm trying to discern the Spirit of God, what He wants. There's children need to get right with the Lord and forgive their parents. Parents have abandoned their children. You listening? I talked to one this morning. Abandoned. He said, "Preacher, I talked to my, I'll just say my parent. Preacher, I talked to my parent this week, or right here recently, first time in over a year. Just abandoned." You know what the little young person said? Young person said, "Preacher, they act like just nothing was wrong. No apology, no nothing." There's emotional scars right there. Amen. Emotional scars. Every boy's home and every girl's home that I know of are packed with a waiting list 10 miles long. Victorious Valley's girls' home, boys' home down in the McGill's, I'll tell you right now, they get calls every day, trouble kids. Called Brother Jeremy Simpson this week and asked him about his boys' home. He's preaching, we're running full load. So we're running full load. In fact, probably over a full load. And if they don't learn, they can't do that on their own. You won't muster up the flesh to forgive in cases like that. God's going to have to put that in your heart. You ever heard Brother Buster Mullins' testimony about his daddy? Are you listening? I'm talking about beating him and threatening to kill him. And don't you ever come around me. Don't you ever talk to me again. All because he got saved. Brother Buster learned to had to let God work it in his heart to forgive him. You got to. I'll tell you what you need to put in both on the balance, the scales. Let me tell you what to put on both sides. One, put your unforgiveness and the hurt and the beating up that you've experienced. Put it on one side. And weigh out how important that is to you. And then on the other hand, realize that if I don't deal with this, I can't have fellowship with Jesus. I can't get close to Jesus. I can't enjoy Jesus. I can't be used of Jesus. And see how important that is. This one's a lot more important than this one. I want to forgive so that I can get close, that I can be right with God. I cherish my fellowship with Jesus. I didn't mean to get bogged down on that one point. Cancellation. If Paul had not just looked at it as things, he would have got bitter. He would have got bent out of shape. Had he forgot, Brother J.R., had he forgot what God told him soon after he got saved, that he was going to suffer great things for His name's sake, if he didn't know that and stayed conscious of that, he would have been full of bitterness every time they stoned him, every time they beat him. Listen, I believe in chapter 14 of Acts is where they beat him, left him outside the gate for dead. They thought he was dead, buddy. What did he do when he regained his composure and his consciousness and he got back? You know what he did? Went right straight back into town and began to preach. Now, if he'd have harbored ill will, and if he'd have forgot about that promise God told him when he first got saved, that you're going to suffer great things for my name's sake, had he forgot that, Brother Mark, he would have got bent out of shape at those that stoned him. He would have got bent out of shape at those people that arrested him. He would have got bent out of shape at those that beat him. He would have got bent out of shape everywhere he turned around where persecution comes, suffering comes. But I'll tell you why he got up and my friend grabbed his Bible and went back into town and preached is because he just looked at it as things.
Amen.
Just things. Cancellation number two. I got to hurry. I'm not going to get done, but unless the Lord leads, we'll be done with it. The second thing I believe that helped him, not only was there a cancellation, but also number two, there's communication. There's a vertical communication, and there's a horizontal communication. There is a direct communication. Listen to me now. And there is an indirect communication. What are you talking about? Verse number Acts 16, the Bible says in verse number 25, the Bible makes it very clear, very important, very, very important. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Communication. Let that be a measuring stick for your spirituality. Let that be a determining factor if you're right with God or not. Can you pray? Because I know firsthand when I'm not right, I cannot pray. Now I can go through the form. I can go through the form. We all know how to what words to say. We know how to begin a prayer. We know some of the the repetitious phrases we could use. And we know how to even close a prayer. But you know that it didn't get above your eyebrows. It didn't get out of the sound of your voice. But on the other hand, have you got down to pray when you knew that it was well with your soul and your heart was clean and you wasn't harboring ill will, you wasn't harboring ill feelings and unforgiveness in your heart? And I mean, when you bowed down, buddy, you knew you had access. Paul, why did you not get beat down? He said, because I was too busy looking up.
Amen.
I stayed focused on being able to pray. How many we preached on this and hit it, bumped on it all through these four message series already? They prayed. Communication. I wonder how many today in the service this morning and in the service tonight that actually could say, preacher, I'm out of communication with the Lord. Read it, friend, in the book of Acts chapter 9. The first thing that said about Paul after he got saved was, behold, he prayeth. Mamas, do you pray? Daddy, do you pray? Young person, do you pray? Are you listening? Boy, when I'm preaching, I can't deal with everything. I'd keep the service tore all to pieces if I dealt with everything I see while I'm preaching. But while I was preaching this morning, I don't know if I'd done any much preaching, but while I was trying to preach, there were young people yakking. That's rude. That's disrespectful. Boy, did I want to call them down? Did I want to pause and have some hamburger meat? Oh, you just don't know how bad I wanted to. But I knew it would tear the service all to pieces, and I knew it would pull everybody else's attention off of what has been preached, what was being preached, and put it on that. So I just swallowed it. It was a big lump, about that big, but I swallowed it. I can't promise I'll swallow it again, but I swallowed her once. Amen. That's bad. That's bad. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about, friend, listen. And here's what I want to say to that point. You said, preacher, what did that have to do with anything? If a young person or any other person don't have enough spirituality to pay attention to preaching, I promise you they can't pray.
Amen.
If they don't have enough spirituality to have attention, to put attention on the Word of God, I promise you they're not praying.
Amen.
Boy, it's quiet. That don't bother me tonight. I know God is speaking to us.
Yes.
Communication!
Amen.
You better live to where you can pray. Keep a short list. You never know when you're going to need to pray urgently and instantly. What if you've got a big list of grudges and people you need to apologize to and things you need to apologize for, and all of a sudden you're in a mess because you need to pray now? Keep a short list. Keep a short list. Because you never know when you're going to come upon a situation that requires somebody to be able to get a hold of God. I mean, right now. Not 30 minutes after you've apologized to 10 people and asked the Lord to forgive you for 30 minutes. I'm talking about being able right now to pray. Oh, God, help us. Listen, if you're saved, you're old enough to pray.
Amen.
If you're not old enough to be saved and you're not praying, I wonder how many of our kids are praying. I'm talking about kids that's been saved, said they've gotten saved. I wonder if you pray much. I'm not talking about going with a prayer on your mind. I'm talking about actually go somewhere in your bedroom or somewhere and pray. I'm not a prophet, but I will tell you this. You will not make it in this world unless you pray.
Amen.
Paul was a man of prayer. Behold, he prayeth. The first, he hadn't been saved long at all, just a few hours. My friend, and all of a sudden the Bible puts her down. He was praying. He was praying. Behold, he prayeth. He didn't learn that in school. He'd just been saved a few hours. Who taught him that? Who put that in him? The Holy Ghost did. Listen, oh, I feel it tonight. Listen, I tell you, friend, when you get saved, it comes in with you a desire to pray. If you don't pray, you'll drift. If you don't pray, you'll die spiritually. Some of you's under conviction. I guarantee it, buddy. The Holy Ghost is bringing it up in your life. You ain't prayed in days. This business is too serious and our adversary is too big. If we don't pray, we're going to lose it. I'm not talking about our salvation. I'm talking about our generation, the next generation. You'll do your own study. I preached it. You've all heard it. Do your own study on bloody things that hinders prayer in that Bible. You can't pray if you're not right with other people. Husband and wife relationship, if you're not right, you can't pray. Your prayers is hindered. Peter wrote that. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We're not going to make it if we can't pray. Communication. Vertical. Pray. I know I'm in trouble if I can't pray. The beating is going to beat me if I don't pray. I tell you what praying will do, buddy. Praying will let you get shed of that beating. Amen. You don't wear it around and say, look at me, I'm beat up. That's not spiritual. Spiritual's being able to get in a plug hose in somewhere and say, God, I reject the influence of these stripes in my life. This beating in my life. I reject its influence. I'm not going to let it get in me. If your relationship's not right, listen. Young people. If you're not right with your parents, you cannot pray. The beating will beat you every time. The whipping will whip you every time if you can't pray. You can't pray. You can't go to God and say, oh, Jesus, I love you when you wanted to tell mama to go jump in the lake. You can't back talk and sass mom and daddy. I don't know why I'm here. I am giving no forethought to this. This is hitting somewhere. You have a wrong attitude toward mom and daddy and back talk them and sass them and disobey them and expect to go and bow a knee to a holy God and have access. Amen. You could run that all the way through relationships. Church member, preacher. Preacher and church member relationships. If you're not right with the preacher, I promise you, you ain't going to pray. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, I've been here 16 years. I'm telling you what I've seen in my ministry, not just here, but all of it. I've seen it, friend. One of the most dangerous things that could ever come in your life spiritually is to get crossed up with a preacher. I'm going to say it again. It's on tape. It's on tape. One of the most dangerous things that could ever start creeping into your life is to get sideways with a man of God. Amen. Are you listening? I've seen it. I don't know of one. I don't know of one, Brother Mike. Not one that their Christian life prospered. I'm talking about the ones that got sideways with me and crossed up with me. I don't know if one of them has prospered. Not one. Are you listening? The other day, I heard of one of them falling. Did I rejoice over that? No. In fact, after I heard it, my heart was broken. And I went down those steps right there. And I said, God, I wasn't impressing nobody. There wasn't nobody around me. I was just walking down them steps. And I said, God, You know I didn't pray for that. I said, God, You know I didn't long for that. And You know I don't rejoice at a brother that failed. Oh, the flesh would have loved to have jumped up and said, yeah, I knew it. That proves they were wrong. No. My heart was broken. I said, God, You know, I would have never asked You to do that. Yes, I've asked You to deal with them. Yes, I've asked You to deal with them. But I said, Lord, please, and remember mercy.
Yes, amen.
Communication, they prayed. They prayed to God directly. They were communicating to God directly, but they were communicating to the godless indirectly. Because the Bible says in that verse, Brother Craig, and the prisoners heard them. They weren't praying to the prisoners. They weren't even singing to the prisoners. They were just doing what they normally do. Look right there in chapter 16. Let me show you something. I just seen this today. Look here. Let me see if I can spot it right here. Yeah, chapter 16, verse 16. Look at it. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. Paul and them prayed before the jail. They had a life of prayer. It was a practice of prayer. They was going to prayer in verse 16 before this event of the jail took place just only a few verses later. They had that vertical prayer, that vertical communication, but an indirect communication came as people heard them. I can't emphasize how important it is for people. I'm not talking about Pharisaical praying. Matthew 6, they stood on the street corner, Brother Bill, and prayed, you know, that men might hear them. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about it, but I believe, Sister Betty, God wants us to pray at times and in places that the unbelieving crowd, the godless crowd, will hear us pray.
Amen.
We're not praying so they will hear us, but I believe God wants them to hear us pray every once in a while.
Amen.
God wants children to hear parents pray, mates to hear the other mate pray. Amen. I believe it. They prayed, and the Bible said the prisoners heard them. Listen to me. Listen. One of the reasons why that I really want our church kids to be in the youth prayer room is to be an example to our kids that comes on the bus. Be an example to them. But to be an example to them is more than just being in the room. You can be in the room with a face that long. I don't want to be here, but the preacher's making me come. What would it do? Let's just pull in a scenario here. What would it do to some of those kids that none of us realize what a mess they live in? Listen, what would it do to them? Let's just say one of them's name is Junior. What if Junior was in there? And of course, you know, they're not even saved. Of course, they don't have no prayer life or nothing. But what if little Junior that rides in on the van is sitting in the youth prayer room and hears RBT young people praying? I'm talking about hear them praying. What would it do, little Junior, if one of our kids was actually praying, Lord, I pray for little Junior sitting right here over to my left. Lord, I pray for him. I pray God you'd help him. Lord, I don't know what he lives in, and I don't know what he's facing in life. I don't know the emotional scars that's in his life. Lord, I want you to touch him. Lord, I want you to save him. Lord, I want you to do something for him. What do you think that would do? Junior's going to say, somebody cares.
Amen.
Somebody needs to hear you pray. They hear us complain. They hear us murmur. They hear us talk. But did they ever hear us pray? Are you embarrassed to pray? Are you? You shouldn't be. What if you're in a parking lot somewhere? Now, I was just the other day, I done told you that story, but it fits this as an illustration. I was talking to a young man in McDonald's parking lot about an issue, and I was giving him some counsel. I was trying to give him some advice. He don't even go to church here. Trying to give him some advice about folks he's running with and some areas that he's showing signs of really going down the tubes in. And trying to give him advice, and he got all bent out of shape at me at first. I mean, he stomped off down through the parking lot. Mad. I talked to him all the way down through there. I didn't run after him, but I just raised my voice. I said, yeah, look at you. Here the preacher comes in here to deal with you in a Christian way, and you all mad. Turn around, come back, hug my neck, tears running down his face. Put my arm around him with cars going up and down through the drive-thru. I said, I want to pray with you. Hey. It might embarrass him. I don't know. I said, can I pray with you? He said, yeah. And I put my arm around him. I prayed right there. It didn't bother me. I didn't turn the least bit red. You think I'm going to let that worldly crowd intimidate me? You think I'm going to hang my head because I'm a born-again, blood-washed, heaven-bound child of God and let this godless crowd intimidate me? Never! Communication! People need to hear you pray! Oh, God, help us! Communication. They prayed. They had communication with God directly and a communication with the godless indirectly. You know, he wrote the book of Philippians. I'm not going to get done. That's all right, though. He wrote the book of Philippians. And you know what? I've read it. I read it pretty much all day today. I've read through it. It's just four chapters. You can read it in one setting. If you get the remote out of your hand. Amen. Do you know what? There's two basic things that Paul's doing in that book. He's talking to God about the people. And then, secondly, Brother Craig, he's talking to the people about God. The whole book is under those two headings. He starts out and he's praying for the people. Praying for the people. You ever wondered what Paul was praying? You ever wondered who he's praying for? We don't know for sure if he was praying for the beaters or not. But we do know he was praying for the church at Philippi. Because from that scene, he writes the church at Philippi. And you know what he says to them? You know what he says to them? Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter number 1. Chapter 1. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Started the book off praying to God for the people. But then on in the book, he starts dealing with the people about God, giving them doctrine, telling them practical principles of how to live, being of the same mind. The only negative thing said about the church at Philippi is chapter 4, Euodias and Syntyche, two women in the church, was not of the same mind. There's a little division there, a little friction there between them. And Paul said, deal with it, that they be like-minded. It's the only negative thing said about the church of Philippi. A strong church, friend, if we can line up with those two principles that I just gave you, we'll be a strong church too. Spend a lot of time talking to God about men. And spend some time talking to men about God. And we'll have a strong church.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Well, amen. I've got a whole lot more to preach and I can get it done, I promise you. But anyway, there is cancellation, communication, and then there's celebration. They sang praises unto the Lord. They celebrated. What was they celebrating? It was dark. They were bleeding. Their feet was in the stocks. A bad situation. But they were singing praises. You said, preacher, tell me please how to do that. You really want to know? Do you really want to know?
Amen.
I thought you might.
Amen.
You said, preacher, now if I was Apostle Paul, I could have shouted too with my back bleeding. That. Paul didn't have no connection with God that you don't have.
Right. Amen.
He's the one that brought the gospel to the Gentile world. Friend, he's the one that started. Listen, if you trace our roots back far enough, you'll find Paul. And then on the other side of Paul, you find Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You listening? Ephesians chapter 5. Here's the answer. Preacher, how in the world can we do that? Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Y'all know where I'm going. The next verse, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts of the Lord.
Amen.
Giving thanks always for all things. Things. There's that things again. So what was Paul doing? He's probably in there thanking God for all things.
Right.
Lord, these are just things. Thank you for these things. These things are working for my good and your glory. Thank you for these things. These stripes are just things. These stocks are just things. This jail is just a thing. Ah! God's using it.
Amen.
How in the world could Paul celebrate in such a circumstance? It didn't come from the outside, I promise you. It came from the inside, where the Holy Spirit was, and Paul, no doubt, was filled with the Spirit. And the results of that is speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns. And amen? What does it say? Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what would absolutely propel our church into another level spiritually is if everybody in this church that's saved from the least to the oldest would get in a condition where that through the week you would sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Our church would blow wide open in revival. If people would live on a level that they would be intimate with the Lord and be able to sing to Him and make melody to Him. You say, preacher, I can't sing. Every believer can make melody in their heart to the Lord. Every believer. How did it happen? How did this celebration come about? Spirit filled. Can I give you this? Listen, I'm trying to find a place here to... Oh, mercy, I didn't know I'd preach that long. Hebrews 13:15. I've heard Brother Mike quote this. I've heard Brother Roy Courtney quote it so many times. Quoted it so many times. Hebrews 13:15. And by Him let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know what he said praise is? Praise is a sacrifice. I was sitting right over there, Brother Danny, while you was up talking there, and the Lord spoke to my heart about a sacrifice. A sacrifice never offers itself. A sacrifice can only be offered by another. Praise is a sacrifice that you can offer And if you don't offer it, it will never go up. By Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. 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 That is the fruit of our lips. That means it's verbal, vocal. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. You can sacrifice a praise. You can't. Now listen, come here. I know we preached all night. Listen. You can't sacrifice worship. Worship only comes from the Holy Spirit. John 4:35, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. You can't worship God apart from spirit. But now you can sacrifice a praise. The bottom can fall out of your life. You can sacrifice a praise to the Lord. But you can't worship unless you're right with God and the Holy Spirit allows you to worship. Sacrifice of praise, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what's going on in your life, offer up a sacrifice of praise. Because praise is not conditioned by circumstances. You don't say, well, Lord, if I had it better, I'd praise You. No, that's not a sacrifice. Well, Lord, You know if everything was going well and bills paid and everybody's healthy and, You know, and I had a new house and stuff, I'd praise You. That's not a sacrifice. That's a situation. That's a circumstance. Praise is to be given to God based on who He is.
Amen.
Not because of who you are or what's going on in your life. You can sacrifice a praise. I'm talking about celebration. Amen. Boys, a lot I've skipped over, I don't know how much, just on these points here. Amen. Celebrate. Well, we need that, don't we?
Yes.
They weren't celebrating the circumstance. They weren't shouting, praise God, my back's bleeding, Silas. Hallelujah, I'm hurting. No. That wasn't it. They weren't praising, they weren't celebrating because of the circumstance. They were celebrating because of who Jesus is and His real. You'll never live on to convince me that what they were experiencing in that jail wasn't real. They were, I guarantee you, they were enjoying the presence of God in a very pitiful situation. It's real.